works. We don't have any internet.
All right, brethren, forgive me for the laptop, but the internet's down, Wi-Fi's down, so this will have to do. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, the Song of Solomon. We'll read chapter 1, verses 7b to verse 9. We'll start with my mother's children. We'll end with the beauty of horses. Verse 7b. I'm sorry, verse 6b. My mother's children were angry with me, saith the bride. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, saith the bridegroom, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Verse 9, I have, saith the bridegroom, compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Let's pray. Father, help us, I pray, Lord, as we open up the Word of God. O Lord, unseal this passage as you must unseal every passage and reveal it to us. We pray, Father, for Holy Spirit illumination. We pray that you would speak. We pray that you would be magnified. And Father, we pray that, oh God, we would, Father, be able to take something as we have come in garrison, Father, tonight. Oh God, to repair our shields. Father, to repair our armor and to prepare to go back out in the world. Help us, Heavenly Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So last time, just a quick review, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. So you remember who my mother's children are. Those who are close to the bride, or those who were close to the bride, who should love her, who should help her, who should be supportive of her, but instead they are angry with her. Remember we said last time, these humans could either be false brethren in the church, people in the church that you would think would be helpful. I think a good type is the scribes and Pharisees against Christ. They were countrymen. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So these could be false brethren, or as in the case of the Lord Jesus, in the days of his humanity, his own family did not believe in him. We saw that in Psalm 69. We saw that in John chapter 7. Christian, you will have humans in your life that are close to you, should be close to you, but who will be against you because you follow Christ. And that is the one reason why they will be against you. Again, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Jesus said that. The bride then declared that they made me keeper of the vineyards. Now these same persons, my mother's children, appear to be those humans that made her keeper of the vineyards. And so they made me keepers of the vineyards, of their vineyards. And these same persons, beloved, will put their burdens upon you. You ever feel like you're carrying others' burdens? They will put their burdens upon you because they know you are trustworthy. They know you are diligent. They know you are responsible. And listen, we ought to bear one another's burdens. If you go to the book of Galatians, we ought to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But you're not to bear everyone else's burdens while neglecting your own. And that's what the bride says here. She says, they made me keeper of the vineyards, plural, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And so she was negligent to keep her own vineyard. And that leads us to verse 7, to the cry of the bride. The cry of the bride. She cries out to the bridegroom for help. Verse 8 is his response to her cry. We kind of went over this quickly last week, but I want to go over it again. Notice verse 7, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." So tell me, saith the bride. So she seems to be in a condition of straying, of wandering. So she says, tell me, where do you feed your flock? Tell me where your pasture is, that blessed gathering of your people, so that I may also be in your company. That I may be in the company and fellowship of the saints as well. Beloved, this should be our heart cry. It should be your heart cry when you stray and wander from Christ and His church. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where you feed your flock. For those who say, I don't need the church, I don't need to gather with the saints, that is like saying, I don't need Christ. I don't need shepherding. To say I don't need the church is to say I don't need the rod and the staff of the shepherd. I don't need to sit at his feet with the saints to be fed. I don't need to be instructed. I don't need discipline. I don't need to be taught the ways of his kingdom. For those who say I don't need the church, that's basically what you're saying. It's not so, because you hear people all the time. I heard somebody say it the other way. Well, I believe in God. I don't need the church. You do need the church if you're a child of God. You do need the gathering of the saints. Here in verse 7, the bride recognized her condition. I believe that's what we see here. That's why she cried out, tell me, Lord, where you feed your flock, where you make them to lie down and rest, so that I may also come and join them under your care. So that I may come and join them under your care. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Notice, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou, Lord, art with me. Thy rod and staff, the staff guides, the staff smites. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know where that is? That's here. This is the table prepared for God's people in the presence of their enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And in verse 6 is my favorite. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Look at Ezekiel 34. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel rebukes at the word of the Lord the shepherds that were not feeding the people of Israel. They were not caring for them. Ezekiel 34, did I say 36? 34:11. 34:11, we'll read a short section here. But in verse 2, if you look, glance up there real quick, the Lord says, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" And so He rebukes them. Verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As the shepherd seeketh out the flock in the day that is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. And feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good field, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Beloved, that feeding for you is going to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, by the inspired hand of Peter, he told Peter to write, feed the flock of God. 1 Peter 5, I'll just read that short passage to you. He told Peter, Peter was an elder. He said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder of and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, he tells Peter, which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for money, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, willingly and gladly. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And we need shepherding, brethren. So the bride cries out here in Song of Solomon. She says, tell me where you are feeding your flock. Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest thy flock. Now, don't miss this, that the bride addresses the bridegroom as, O thou whom my soul loveth. And I ask you, how can one be a lover of Christ and not desire to be gathered with his church, to be gathered with the sheep? How can you be a lover of Christ and not also be a lover of the flock of God? How can that be? It cannot be, beloved. And so forsake not the manner, forsake not the gathering, rather, of yourselves together, the writer of Hebrews says. She goes on to say, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? By the flocks of thy companions. You remember Ruth chapter 2 and verse 8? You remember when Boaz found Ruth in his field? You remember that? He went out and he says, you can stay in my field and the young men will not hurt you. And he commanded her, he says, go not into the field of any other. Don't go into any other field. Beloved, we're not to go turn aside by any other shepherd in the world. Christ is the one, beloved. We are to follow him. And so she says, I want no other shepherd. I want no other pasture, the bride says. I want Christ. I want Christ alone. So the bride feared being turned aside from the bridegroom to another shepherd. Beloved, we should fear being turned aside from following our Lord. Go to John chapter 10. It's the shepherd chapter. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Look there. The Lord Jesus addresses other shepherds here. Notice verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But notice, he's at the sheepfold. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know that the sheep, for one shepherd, will not follow another shepherd's voice? They follow their shepherd. And beloved, there's a lesson in that. We should follow Christ. This parable, it says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee, verse 5, from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. It's what the bride's saying. She says, why should I be gathered by the flocks of thy companions? Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. saith the Lord. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, the other shepherds, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and he does not care for the sheep. He careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Tell me, saith the bridegroom, tell me, saith the bride, rather to the bridegroom, where you feed your flock. Now, notice in verse 8 of Song of Solomon, he chides her. He said, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd tents. It is as if he tells her, why don't you know? O spouse, O princess, why don't you know where I feed my flocks? Or my flock, rather. If you don't know where I feed my flock, saith the bridegroom, that is because you're not following me. Get up and go forth and follow the footsteps, follow the tracks of my faithful flock. Follow those that are following me, saith the Lord, and you will find me, and you will find my flock. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11:1, to the saints at Corinth, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And so we learn here that the bridegroom tells the bride, follow the footsteps of those that are, that know where I am feeding, that know where the pasture is, where I'm gathering my sheep. Follow them, and you will find me right beside the shepherd's tents. And look at 1 Corinthians. There's a few passages. Beloved, we are taught to follow the examples of faithful Christians. And beloved, you ought to be a faithful Christian. Listen, if you know Christians in the world and you're going to worship with the saints and they're not, you ought to be that example. You ought to be that witness to them. Why aren't you going to gather with the saints? The sheep gather together. They gather together at the feet of Christ. Why aren't you doing that? They say, I don't need the church. You do need the church. You do need shepherding. You do need discipline. You do need to be under the preaching of God's word. This is not a one-man show, walking the Christian life. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Paul says here, for our gospel came not unto you, and these are the saints in Macedonia, Thessalonica, it came not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. So you see, they were followers of the apostles and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia. Beloved, we ought to be examples. We ought to be examples of what it means to be a faithful Christian, faithful to the assembly of God. Chapter 2, verse 14, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even they, as they did of the Jews. So they were followers of God, brethren. And in Hebrews 6:11, one more reference, Hebrews 6:11 and 12, the book of Hebrews. If you don't know where I feed my flock, saith the bridegroom, follow the footsteps of those that do know. Follow them, and they'll show you where my flock is gathering. Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful. We should never be slothful Christians, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so the bridegroom now speaks to her and tells her, you need to follow those that do know where my flock is gathering. Now, back to Song of Solomon. We'll end with verse 9, where he now looks upon her and he says, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. So he tells this bride that she is to be compared to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. What is this? Now remember that the Song of Solomon is typical of Christ in his church. The dialogue that we see in the words of this book are between Christ in his church. So what is there in the bride that the bridegroom would liken or compare to a horse or to a company of horses? And listen, not just any company of horses, not just any horse, but the finest horses, horses on Pharaoh's chariots. Now the question comes up again, why Pharaoh's chariots? Why his horses? They didn't have fine horses in Israel? Well, let's do a little investigation just for a few moments. Turn to 1 Kings 3 and verse 1. 1 Kings 3:1. First we find out that Solomon made affinity. He made affinity. Means he got intimate with Pharaoh's daughter. 1 Kings 3:1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall round about Jerusalem. So go to chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Kings 11:1. Follow me through a few brief passages. And I want to make this connection between a company of horses and Pharaoh's chariots and Solomon and why this is being written. And the church and the relationship of Christ and his church. Chapter 11, verse 1, but Solomon loved many strange women, but he makes sure to name this one, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, she's mentioned first. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and the Hittites. Now just back up to 9:15, 1 Kings 9:15, just back up just a few pages. Talks about a tax, a levy that Solomon raised. This is the reason of the levy which King Solomon raised for to build the house of the Lord in his own house and in Milo and the wall of Jerusalem and Hazor and Megiddo and Gezer. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with fire and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city and given it for a present unto his daughter, who? Solomon's wife. Now, let's make this correlation of the horses. Chapter 10, 1 Kings 10:26. Says here, Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. And he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt. They must have been some pretty fine horses. And linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And the chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver. That's the chariot. And in horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means. Back up to 4:26 of 1 Kings. I'm about to bring this all together, I pray. 4:26 of 1 Kings. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses. That's a lot of barns. 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. 12,000 horsemen. 2 Chronicles 1:13 tells us the same thing. We don't have to go there. The reference, chapter 1, verse 13 to 17. So Solomon no doubt had a love for fine horses, specifically Pharaoh's horses and chariots. They were the best to be had. But what of this comparison? How is the bride likened to or compared to a company of horses, not just a horse, but a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots? How is their beauty in a horse? Of course, we've seen some really beautiful horses. If you've ever seen a picture of Secretariat, she was a beautiful horse. Or he, I'm sorry. What does Christ see in his church that he would compare her to a company of horses and chariots in Pharaoh's, his army? Well, let me help. I think Job can help us a little bit. You remember when Job spoke about horses? Turn to Job 39. Job chapter 39 and verse 19. It'll help us, I think, to read not what Job, I'm sorry if I said that, what God told Job about the horse. Horses are magnificent creatures. They're brave. So this is what God spoke to Job about the horse when God demanded Job to answer him. This is that time when the whirlwind came up and God basically told Job, come to attention and you need to listen to me. Notice what he says, verse 19. Job, hast thou given the horse strength? Did you do that, Job? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Literally translated means, have you clothed him with a large and flowing mane? But the meaning is also, as you've seen a horse's neck, you've seen how powerful they are when they run. Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou, Job, make him afraid? As a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley. He digs in and runs. He rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed man. He mocketh at fear. You ever wonder that? You ever think about that? You see these battles and you see these horses just running. I mean, running at each other. Spears, cannons, you name it. The cavalry running. Horse is running. He's following the rider. In fact, he talks about the weapons, the quiver, the artillery quivering up against the horse's side as he runs. He doesn't care. He snorts and he digs and he runs to the battle. I mean, you see, he mocketh at fear. He is not affrighted. You got to love this. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha! And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains shouting. So this horse runs into the battle. Job, saith God, hast thou given the horse his strength? Did you put within him the boldness of his spirit? See, this passage of God speaking to Job helps us to see and maybe to understand a little bit of how the bridegroom beheld in a company of Pharaoh's horses that which he might compare and liken to that which is beautiful and comely in his bride. As God gave the horse His strength and His spirit, His courageous spirit, His fearlessness in battle, so Christ, beloved, in this passage, admired the strength and beauty of His church. But note, not her own strength. He beheld His strength in her. I have likened you to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Not her own strength, or a strength that came within from within her, but His strength and His spirit, which He had given to her. Just like the horse, whose strength is God-given. The horse is not like that in and of itself. God told Job, I made the horse like that. I gave the horse his courage. I put that spirit in the horse, that the horse would run at the enemy and Tarth, and she, and you got to love this about the horse, she never turns back. She doesn't fear. Beloved, I believe Christ beheld in the church that strength, that boldness, that courage, that spirit that He puts in His church, beloved. And that's to be us. What does Paul say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He says, I have put my spirit in you. Beloved, that's the strength of the church militant. Beloved, that's who we are to be. And so I pray that this will encourage you, beloved, as God had put that strength, that boldness, that fighting spirit to fight the Christian warfare, to fight the warfare like the horse does, beloved, He's put it in you too. And that's what He beholds. And that's what He says is beautiful and comely about His bride. I think that's what the bridegroom is telling the bride here. And so I'll read it one more time and we'll be done. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Think upon this. Beloved, there's some meditation truth in here that'll bless your soul. I pray that you're thinking upon these things and that God continues to feed your soul even afterward. I pray this good seed of His Word, for all of my infirmity in trying to present it, but I pray that the good seed of the Word is bringing forth precious fruit in your life, beloved. I pray that be the case. Amen. Well, let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we pray, O God, that we would be as the bridegroom described His beloved spouse. Lord, as Christ describes His church, with this strength given, like the strength of a horse, Father, the spirit that You put in the horse, that courageous spirit. Father, I pray we would be as You commanded Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Oh Lord, I pray that we would, Father, we would be able to enter into, Father, and to know this relationship, this intimacy, as we read of the dialogue between the bride and the bridegroom here. Father, as I read today and thought about, oh God, of when Your strength is really made strong in us, it's when we are weak in ourselves. As the Apostle Paul said, lest He should be exalted above measure, and he said it twice. And Paul said, a messenger of Satan was dispatched to him to buffet him, to beat him down, to bring him low. And Paul besought the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan. And You said, no, Lord. You said, my grace is sufficient for thee. But then You told him this, Father, and it's the key to all of it. I pray that we would see this and we would experience this, that Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so, Father, help us to glory in our infirmities and our distresses, our necessities, as the Apostle Paul wrote and taught us. Father, help us to rely upon Your strength and not our own. Father, dash pride from our spirits, O God. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be humble servants of Thee. Help us to draw upon Your strength, Your power. Help us to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts and souls. O God, help Your people, Father. Help us even in these examples as we see of the bride calling out to the bridegroom of to see where He fed His flock. Father, we should know. And Father, we should be able to tell others. And Father, help us to be good examples and help us to follow good examples of what a child of God should be. Help us, Lord. And once again, we want to thank You so much for our dear brother Kevin being here, Lord. We pray that You'd bless his soul, strengthen him, Lord, even for his scans that he goes for in the next few days. And we'll give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.